You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
Second half of the show is live, and we will talk to Tom Hart later on the call last night and all weekend for the big Alabama baseball series without the head coach. They won last night. Interesting how that happened. Let's continue with some other big news of the day, and Auburn may have a new quarterback. How about that? Peyton Thorne, he started for 3 years at Michigan State. He's now heading to Auburn. And the man many believe was the starter or will be the starter or maybe was once the starter says, come on, Robbie Ashford, let's work. Iron sharpens iron. Still don't know what that means, do you?
No.
Must be a War Eagle thing.
Yeah.
More on the Bohannon situation in Bama a little bit later on. Trey is in Houston. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are great. Thank you.
No, good. I'm glad to hear that. Just one quick thought. One of your last callers, I'm not sure what his name was, but talking about Ohio State trying to claim Joe Burrow, I can't think of an institution outside of Ohio State that would even try to do something so childish as, you know, kick somebody out of their school, basically, and then say, oh, he won the Natty, he won the Heisman, we won him back. No! That's not how this works.
Very true.
Paul, that's really all I have for you.
Texas A&M claiming Kyler Murray or what, Texas Tech claiming Baker Mayfield.
It's just ridiculous. Classic Ohio State move, Paul, but I just wanted to let that get in here real quick. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you. Cat Daddy.
Yeah. Big Paul, looking good and shining good as always. Look at him. That guy from Ohio. I've heard him so many times come on your show. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe to this day, he is the reason somebody put the word damn in front of the word Yankees.
I think you're right.
But anyway, here's a question I've been hearing in this room, and I know you could figure it out from a couple of folks come in the store asking about this. That Peyton Manning, that Manning boy that went to Texas, they say he ain't coming around too good. What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, Arch Manning just got there. He played high school football a couple of months ago, meaning under normal circumstances he would be attending his prom this weekend. So I think it's very early, Cat Daddy, to know. He's behind a guy that's been around for 2 or 3 years. So I think it's more important to see how he does next season. But right now he's somewhere between the second and third string quarterback. Not a big surprise. Thank you for the call. AC is in Canada. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, let me ask you a question. So what does Jim, in your opinion, what does he mean by truth is not in you? What does he mean by that? He asked you that his call literally lasted 10 seconds. Any idea?
I think he was quoting the Bible there. That's just my uneducated opinion.
Because you're just thinking, I guess, this guy is a phony, he's a bad American. You know, I'm sick and tired of Jim and wrestling of those cars and disrespecting you. You idiot, you moron. You should get a job, Mr. Olivier, and Donald Trump's faking, idiot. Even the next caller and the one comes after. I hate you, fat Americans, but there's one damn person I do not hate. Paul Feinbaum, I love you. I hate you, fat Americans. Matter of fact, I wish you could pick up my garbage can and say, AC, we love you too. I would say, I hate you, you dumb fat.
I do not want to be on a Canadian highway with him. Does everybody on the same side, the people in Canada drive on the same side of the street that we do? That's just England that does it the other way?
Yeah.
One smart thing the Canadians decided to dump from the motherland. Yeah, Bill is in Colorado Springs. Bill, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Am an American, but I am not fat.
Yeah.
Some
of my best friends are fat Americans.
I know a few, but fortunately, I'm not in that category. A few months back, it was just before the national title game, I had called you. And I was curious about something, and you said you'd keep an ear out for it to see if you heard anything. But with the expansion to the 12-team playoff, and if I understand it correctly, teams hosting in their own stadiums, is there any movement for some of these schools to winterize those stadiums yet? Did the NCAA put a pot of money aside to help them? Have you heard anything more about that?
No, but it's a tremendously important idea because you play – I would think a number of them are already winterized. I'm guessing. I don't know. Maybe not. But explain something to those of us in the South. What do you do to winterize a stadium?
Well, you know, a good example, and it's almost by accident, is where the Gophers play at TCF Bank Field.
Right.
The only reason that's winterized is because the Vikings needed a place to play for 2 years when they were tearing down the old Met, or Hubert-Sophie Metrodome, and built their new stadium. So all the pipes have to be winterized so they don't freeze over. Heating systems have to be improved at best, or even put in for some of the facilities, the press rooms, the locker rooms. You have to rip up the field and put a heating system underneath so it doesn't turn into the Ice Bowl Lambeau Field back in the Ice Bowl game.
Right.
It's not something you do in a couple weeks where, we made the playoffs and we're going to host a game. Maybe some stadiums are winterized. Maybe some aren't, like I said, where the Gophers play is, but that was an accident. The Vikings paid for all that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think,
so
Bill, when we get to that next year, you know, you're talking about Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, maybe they sneak into it. Yeah, there's some possibilities for some incredibly cold settings.
Well, and then there's the judgment calls. You know, it can get chilly in Tennessee, Kentucky, and the Carolinas in December.
Oh, absolutely.
So do you take your chance? Do you... You know, I don't know. I'm just
yeah,
curious.
I don't know what the bill would be, but you're right. You get the wrong date in mid-December. I've lived in the South my whole life. I went to school in East Tennessee, and it can get very cold. You may get a 50-degree day. You may get a high of 32 and sleet. You're just not sure. Hey, great question. I will ask some people about that. I know I told you I would, but I didn't. So now I will. Can we work on that, Randy? Can you ask someone about that?
Sure.
What would it cost to winterize your stadium? That would be very expensive.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, all the NFL clubs have to do it to play.
Sure.
I mean, even the Southern school. You had Carolina a couple of years ago played a game in. They played the NFC Championship game in mid-January. It was a 20-degree night, I believe. So would the stadium had to have been winterized? Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Randy, what's shaking, Bo?
What's up, Bob?
A caller for Randy.
What's shaking, Paul? How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed the call from the asinine Canadian. I know you wanted to call him a Canuck the other day, but most Canadians I know call each other Canucks as terms of endearment, and
okay.
I wouldn't do that to them guys. They're good guys.
Yeah, there's a high risk nowadays in taking any chance like that.
Yeah, and AC's a border jumper anyway.
Yeah,
he's not
a Canadian.
He could, No, he couldn't hack it to lower 48, so he had to bail out because Mexico wouldn't let him in.
Where did he used to live? Does anyone remember?
He used to live in the
cultural mecca of America, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, I think that tells y'all you need to know about him. But I wanted to answer Handsome Joe's question from yesterday.
Okay.
You recollect when he asked you why Vanderbilt fans never called the Paul Feinbaum show?
Yes.
Well, he's got to understand that's like our version of an Ivy League school in the SEC, and they're not going to stoop to our level and call you. That's why all the hillbillies are UT fans, man.
Oh, okay.
And Alabama fans. And Georgia fans.
Talking about some of my favorite programs.
Stand up for Joe. He seemed quite confused. But shed a little light on it for him.
Well, I'm glad you did, Bubba. Thank you. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Bubba, throwing out some stereotypes today, right? Hey, and today you're a Gator hater, according to the interview and some of the callers, right? But I don't see the Gators doing well, do you?
No, I think they're going to struggle to have a winning record.
Yeah. Hey, the gentleman asked about winterizing stadiums, and it was in the news today that Penn State's already arranged to winterize their stadium in about the piping and et cetera so it can function in below zero weather. But I know the Big House has done that already. In fact, they've even hosted NHL hockey games there in the winter. So okay. I think a lot of the stadiums will be prepped and ready to go.
I hope so. I'd hate to go to a cold stadium, wouldn't you, John, in late December?
Yes. Hey, Paul, have a great weekend. Enjoy the race on TV.
Thank you, John. Yeah, I went to a cold stadium last January in Los Angeles for the national championship game. It was below zero, or at least it felt like it, wind chill. Yeah. Parker is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Parker.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are well, thank you.
My question for you is, do you think that Joe Milton could be the guy for Tennessee to take us all the way this year?
I do. I think he's set for a fantastic year, and every indication is he is trending in that direction. We take a break. We'll talk to Tom Hart, bottom of the hour, on what is going on in Alabama and the effect of the betting scandal that seems to be spreading, and your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Trey's up next in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
I just got a quick little thing just for this year. You know, all these Alabama fans always calling in and wondering, you know, why we have the perception of them, you know, the way we do. A lot of us call them Tuscaloosers, and here's a part of the reason why. You know, just what this last 2 years, they had football player Jermaine Burton. He struck the Tennessee co-ed on field. Football player Tony Mitchell arrested for gun and weed. Darius Miles arrested for murder. Basketball commit Jaquan Walton arrested for gun and weed. And then Brad Bohannon fired for point shaving. That's just, you know, consistent with how we view Tuscaloosa, you know, in the whole Bama organization.
Well, you left a few things out, but I think that's a pretty reasonable facsimile. It's been a brutal couple of weeks, a couple of months for Alabama. Thanks for the call. Wesley is in Georgia. Hey, Wesley.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I agree with everything the fellow just said, but what I called for was, don't you miss old Larry Munson?
Yeah, I do. I would, if I had but one wish, I'd like to hear one more Larry Munson game, wouldn't you?
He was the best, wasn't he?
Nobody close.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember back when I was in my high school days and a little bit up a few years later, we would go dove hunting every Saturday.
Yes, sir.
And every once in a while, one of us would go up to the truck and turn on the radio and see what the ball game score was. Listen to Larry. He was the best there was.
I would
me.
Agree. He was without a doubt the most enjoyable play-by-play broadcaster I've ever heard. I didn't say the best. I said the most enjoyable. He was fun. Brent is in Arkansas. Hello, Brent.
Hello, Paul. First-time caller.
Thank you. Nice of you to call.
Hey, Paul, and I've been meaning to call you for years, and I finally got around to it. I was calling to because I really appreciated the way you treated Robert from Waterloo, because
yes,
I'm a cerebral I have cerebral palsy myself, and I remember a few years back you took him to the SEC media days. You remember that year?
What happened was Robert Fisher from Iowa. We went up to see him one year, and the next year he came to an Alabama football game.
Well. Is he doing all right?
Yeah,
I don't
in fact,
know.
I talked to Robert, I would say, 6 or 8 weeks ago off the air, and I believe he called in once after that. But, yeah, he's doing very well. He seems to be doing great.
Well, I'm a Razorback fan, and I really appreciate how you treat him and respect him. I really do love that.
Well, Brent, it was one of the most meaningful things we've ever done here on this program. And one day we have a little more time, I'll go through the whole story of it. But I'm glad you remembered him and continue to remember him. And I'm optimistic he'll call again soon. He said, frankly, he just doesn't have time. He's got a job during the afternoon. But we'll hear from him again. Hey, you take care of yourself as well. Thank you. Jeff is up next in Alabama. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul, how are y'all doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Okay, so listen, two things real quick. You know I'm a Georgia fan, but I've heard bits and pieces. I've been busy lately. Y'all, I don't know if y'all are just joking around or talking about, like, the Paul Feinbaum movie and who's going to play Jim and,
right.
and something like that. What were y'all talking about?
Well, it all started a couple of years ago, and this is serious. Some Hollywood producers came up with a sitcom based on this program, and it took a while, and it was eventually bought by ABC to develop, and Jason Biggs, you remember, he was the star of the American Pie trilogy. He was chosen to play me as a about a 40-year-old host who was going back in time, obviously. And it's still sitting.
Okay.
It's still sitting out in Hollywood with all this, you know, with COVID and the writer's strike and chaos in the industry. It has not been developed. So one day on the show, we started joking about if we got somebody for everybody in the cast. That's how that started.
Well, I have. This is something, and when I heard, it's been a while since I heard it, and I talked to my wife about it, and I'm like, I know the perfect part for Paul. And,
who,
and it's my
who would
favorite
that be?
Actor. And I think that would be Tom Hanks, man. I think he would nail it.
Well, I was about to be flattered until I just recently saw him play Colonel Parker in the Elvis movie.
Oh, I did not see that. Okay.
No. Tom Hanks, I mean, he played a guy that probably weighed another 100 pounds more than Tom and was considerably older. Well, maybe not at the time. But, yeah, Hanks is a great actor, without a doubt.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I would think Tom Hanks would be interested in playing me, don't you? Now forget me.
I would think so.
Who would – some of the other – who would play Legend?
He's really good at putting on weight, taking off weight for whatever role he's playing.
Jeff Bridges.
So the other thing
I don't even know if he's still alive. Remember Mickey Rourke back in the day? Mickey Rourke, 30 years ago, would have played a great Legend.
Billy
Bob Thornton would. Okay, here's the one that will end the show. Who plays Jim from Tuscaloosa?
Oh. The guy who used to play on Andy Griffith, but he's dead. The guy who used to play Enos, or the one who would throw bricks through the windows.
Ernest T. Bass?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Ernest T. Bass.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody a little more modern time, but I have an idea. But the problem is most of my guys are too old, but... Jim's a young guy, so I tell you, we'll let that one sit for a while. We don't have to answer that question yet. That's something that can keep us in business all summer long. We need to go to a break. Tom Hart's around the corner, on the call this weekend for the Alabama baseball series. He did the game last night right after we learned that the head coach had been fired. We'll talk to Tom in a minute.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And the softball tournament is next week. Baseball, a couple weeks away. And speaking of baseball, top story of the day remains the Alabama situation. I was really eager last night to flip on one of the ESPN network channels to watch the Alabama game against Vanderbilt. They got a huge win, but I was particularly interested in seeing what the commentators we're going to say about something that had happened just a couple of hours earlier. Tom Hart joins us, has done a lot of crazy games before. But Tom, how wild was it getting ready for the game yesterday and suddenly the baseball coach gets fired? Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, 9 hours before first pitch and a coaching change is made. I've never had that one happen before, but it's much bigger to me than just college baseball or Alabama or the SEC. I mean, this is a national story, which obviously has national implications. So that added a little bit to the table in terms of how to address it, how to research it, how to find the right information to share. And I think you understand this in these situations where there's so much information that's available on back channels that's not yet confirmed, what not to share. And I think that's important as well.
And these are, we had KP in here last night, and you and KP and the rest of the crew know these guys. I mean, we those yeah. of us sit behind microphones, we may run into them, but you guys see them every weekend, and you become friendly and friends sometimes. On Bohannon, I know everyone was surprised, but what was your immediate reaction?
Yeah, it doesn't fit the profile, I think is a fair way to phrase it. And, you know, we had a chance that we didn't talk with them this week. We had a Zoom call with them midweek because it was a Thursday night game. And the original news broke on Monday. So Chris Burke asked him about it in a very casual way, because these aren't interviews. This isn't 60 Minutes. We have very casual conversations with these coaches to learn about their team, to learn about what trends they have and what their health situations are from a personnel standpoint. And Chris Burke just kind of said, hey, man, what's the story with this whole thing? You know, a very vague question. And Brad Bohannon answered kind of like I expected him to. He said, guys, I don't know anything about it. Even if I could talk about it, I don't know anything. He said, I'm so unfamiliar with that world. That's not what I live in. I'm just a baseball coach. And he had a funny line. He said, you know, I'm so cheap that when we have free food at the ballpark, all of my staff makes fun of me because I make a couple plates to take home. He's like, I don't live in that world. So because he doesn't fit that profile, and he's very low key, it comes across as a very humble guy. I think that's why so many people that operate in the college baseball space were so surprised by it.
We're talking to Tom Hart, who of course was on the call last night for the Alabama game, talking about Brad Bohannon. So if he said that, how does what we now know, and you probably know a lot more than we do, square with that comment and knowing him like you have for a number of years?
Well, if we believe what we've heard on back channels through these investigations, it doesn't square at all. It's completely opposite with what happened or what was happening. And that kind of turns into speculation at some point, because the biggest question, Paul, is if this was an event that happened last Friday against LSU, was this the first time? Has this happened before? Was this a regular occurrence? Who were you working with? What did you know about it? And all of those are questions that I assume Alabama, in their investigation, which, by the way, did not take long, right? I mean, that was a quick turnaround to terminate an employee after the news first came out on Monday. They didn't waste any time. So that would, I infer then, that they had all the information they needed to make a quick decision and move on.
Tom, you've done baseball a long time. Of course,
I like how you always call me old. Like you bring this, you're like, hey, you've done so many games.
Well,
I'll wear it.
That's always fine. To set up your expertise.
Okay.
And you are. I mean, you've got great experience in this space. And a lot of us were caught off guard just the fact that somebody could bet on baseball, let alone the head baseball coach. I mean, in all the years of doing college baseball, has betting ever really been mentioned?
Yeah. I mean, I think in all sports, gambling is mentioned. All sports that I've been involved with, you know, and at various levels. I mean, I'll tell you a quick story. I had a buddy of mine that was a former coworker who knew I was deep into college baseball, and he would call me every fall because he was building his draft boards for his rotisserie draft the following year, and he wanted to know what hot prospects were coming out of college baseball, that I had some information that was going to serve him for his fantasy baseball team 5 years down the road. You know, so people who are into it are certainly into it, no matter what level that is. Obviously, it's not as popular as, you know, pro football or college football or the NBA when it comes to gambling, but it's certainly there. And it peaks, obviously, at the end of the season, once we get to June and once the teams get to Omaha in the College World Series. But I feel, Paul, that people that are interested in sports gambling are interested in whatever is on television that night, or in our experience during the pandemic at 5 o'clock in the morning. And if it's Korean baseball, let me see that roster and what's the line. And so that's why I don't think it's a college baseball problem or a Bama or SEC problem. I think it's a gambling issue.
In doing the game last night, I want to ask you about the flow of it, because Alabama looked really good. I mean, they almost had the run rule. I heard from some people in Tuscaloosa today that there's some angst now being developed from those players that maybe they weren't being shot straight by their own head coach. What did you see, and how did, as the game developed?
I think that's a fair assumption. I mean, I think it's fair for these players, and we need to point out none of whom have been implicated in any of this. Seems like Bohannon was the lone wolf, so to speak. That if he was betting against his team, and that's a big if, and once again, this is speculation, I would assume that this is what's being talked about in the apartments and in the locker room of these players. Well, has he been holding us back? You know, they could have beat LSU last Friday. Not a whole lot of people do, especially when Paul Skeens is on the mound. He and Dylan Cruz are going to be arguably the top two picks in the draft. So it is a mighty achievement to knock them off on a Friday night. But I would imagine those players have said, man, we're better than this, and we had a chance, and what if this guy really did have one of our hands tied behind our back? So I described last night, especially the Andrew Pinckney Grand Slam, as cathartic. I mean, I would only imagine that those players have been through so much emotion, and none of these issues are their doing, and they just want to go out there and play ball, and they want to do well in the postseason and make it to the NCAA tournament. And a lot of these guys want to get drafted and go on and play money, go on and make money playing this game at the next level. And so to have this black cloud hanging over their head is patently unfair. So, and by the way, that's a really good Vanderbilt team that they beat. That's a top five team in the country. And those players deserve all the credit in the world.
Tom Hart, Vanderbilt in Alabama again tonight at 8 p.m. Always great to talk to Tom. We'll see him soon as we continue here on this Friday afternoon, early evening. That remains the topic of the hour. We'll be back with more of your comments right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Rally Cap coming up Sunday, 5 p.m. weekend wrap up of everything baseball and softball. William is up next in Maryville, Tennessee. William, good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Well, thank you.
I have two quick questions for you, both in regard to the Alabama baseball situation. How does surveillance in a casino pick up who someone is talking to or texting on a phone?
I am told it picked up the phone where it says who is calling. Now, I have a hard time believing, William, that that was just a random thing. You tell me. You're more closer to that, more closely related to that business than I am. But somebody must have been looking for something.
Well, I mean, if you know, if we're going to do something nefarious, I'm not going to be standing there at the betting window yelling, "Hey, coach, you know, what should I do now?" And it you know, I'm assuming that they don't have every phone monitored there in the casino.
Well, no, I am told by casino people you can zero in for a close up, and they captured the screen of his name on the. It seems to me though, if you're calling someone to place a bet and it's obviously nefarious, maybe you ought to put a different name on there. Like,
oh yeah, I'd probably put, you know, Henry or Joe. I certainly wouldn't put Coach.
You know, William, I'm glad you called, because somebody asked me this earlier and I didn't know the answer. Obviously, it's terrible. It's fireable. They're NCAA issues. But from a legal standpoint, can you help us understand what laws, if any, may have been broken here?
Well, I don't really know, Paul. I mean, I'm not really, you know, whether there's a racketeering type standard on you know, throwing a sporting event,
right.
Communicating through interstate commerce.
It would just seem interstate commerce is a pretty loose thing, isn't it?
Well, interstate commerce is, you know, using the phones, using the wires, using the mail, and it's a very broad thing. And my next question is more personal. I had dinner with Greg Byrne when he was at Arizona a couple times through a good friend of mine, and spent a little time with him. And he seems like such a, you know, quality businessman, that, you know, the new age athletic director. Do you think that he, you know, with all the things going on with now basketball, baseball, the problems, you know, with football, do you think Greg Byrne survives this, Paul?
Before I answer, let me give a little context on Greg Byrne. Greg Byrne is the son of Bill Byrne, who was the athletic director at Nebraska and Texas A&M. He worked under a number of top flight athletic directors in the SEC, including Mitch Barnhart of Kentucky, the dean of the SEC ADs. His first big job was at Mississippi State, where he fired Sylvester Croom and hired Dan Mullen. He went to Arizona from there, where there was a lot of scandal out there, and there's some debate exactly how closely aligned to that scandal in basketball and football was Greg Byrne. He once told me that he explained it very well, and I came away not thinking he had much to do with any of it. And then he got the Alabama job. So the thing about Byrne that I'm concerned about is that he's always very personable. But people that are closer to him than I am, and I've known him since he was at Mississippi State, say that he's changed. Now, what would change someone as they matriculate through the system, William? You know, he was once a young, aspiring athletic director. Now he's $2 million a year and Nick Saban's boss. So I can't imagine that would affect anybody's personality. Can you?
No, sir. Well, you know, I mean, when I met him, and it was through a major U of A donor that's a close friend, and I was talking to his wife, actually. I think I remember I said to her, you know, I think I like you better than I like your husband. And she's very personable. And,
oh, Regina.
And
yeah. I mean, I've been
to
her home a couple of times. She's one of the most delightful
Oh, she's delightful.
I met
their son, and
yeah.
And you know, I just he seems, you know, he and Danny White, I think, have a lot of similarities in that you know, they come across as businessmen. They don't come across as sports agents or ex jocks. They just come across as no nonsense business guys.
Back to your question, though, and I don't know how to answer it, because it really depends on the whims of the moment, but he has had an absolutely miserable year, because a lot of people have privately blamed him for the handling of the Brandon Miller situation. Why would he have anything to do with it? Because he clearly did not get out in front of it. And then he tried to clean it up later in one interview, which did not help. He ended up throwing his head coach under the bus. So I think he's got issues. I don't know that backstory as well as I used to living in the state, but there are just a handful of people that control jobs like that with the Board of Trustees, and I could see his capital literally burning up as we speak.
Well, you know, tying it back into the baseball coach, you know, I was actually just looked at this. You know, you've got a head football coach making, what, $12 million a year, and you got a baseball coach making $500,000, which is still a lot of money, but
yeah,
it pales in comparison to what, you know, of course, it's probably better than what the tennis coach makes, but it's not nearly what Nate Oates or Nick Saban make. And, I mean, I know that
you asked me that question. I left out the most important person in that athletic department. And
Nick Saban.
Yeah, and the one thing that might concern me, sitting in Greg Byrne's position, is Nick Saban's zero tolerance for bad publicity. And Saban, I believe Saban, when Saban said what he did about Nate Oates, he was serious, and then he walked it back and joked about it. because they are pretty close based on all accounts, including Nate Oates. But Saban did not like that story. It was negative. It was bad news for his program because it's connected. This is even worse. This adds an element of like what in the world's going on there and who is in charge. And I suspect Nick Saban would be very unhappy with this.
Well, again, you know, I know I saw the Saban signee that was doing 141 miles an hour with the marijuana down in Florida, you know, that the video went out with him crying and everything. And, you know, none of it's good. And certainly Saban has got to be saying to somebody who is in charge, and, you know, why is all this publicity coming down on the university? And
sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of you really can't pin anything on him. And I think Nate Oates is critical because Nate Oates has been his best coach, the best hire by Greg Burns. It was considered a brilliant hire. And some of the shine has worn off on that. There's a lot of uneasiness about the way that thing went down, the way Nate Oates handled certain things. There's even more out there percolating, players leaving, assistant coaches departing. What does the future look like after an absolutely blown opportunity to get to the Final Four? You know what that's like in Knoxville. And how does this all land? And I don't know the answer to it, but there's almost nothing Greg Byrne can say right now that is going to be believed.
So basically what is probably happening is to some extent Saban is driving this bus.
I would think at some point, and Nick Saban will never have to say a word. That's all he has to do is nod his head. And yeah, the administrator's there. There's a president and there's a chancellor. And you know what that's like when suddenly someone who's above it all goes, you know, can we – and everybody's complaining. And I've seen these situations firsthand. And finally the top guy says, well, there's an easy way to solve this problem.
Well, I mean, sometimes the leader needs to, you know, be sacrificed for the yeah. You know, for the benefit of the troops. And you know, there's a bigger picture here than just one person or one job. I mean, it's kind of interesting because when they fired the baseball coach, they said because he didn't meet certain standards. Well, you know, one of the outcries on the Nate Oates situation and the Brandon Miller situation is what were the standards for a student athlete? Yeah. Nobody really came forward with standards. You know,
an easy answer. You replace him with Nick Saban. I mean, that's the answer to everything in Tuscaloosa, isn't it? He probably wouldn't want the job, but he would certainly repair the public relations aspect of it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.